Thank you, Tanner. I'm telling you, that's what God does in your life, right? He changes your life, and he transforms you from walking in this old world to walking on holy ground. Amen? Hey, Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? It's the good news. It's what breaks the chains that bind us. I think about in Scripture, Jesus says, I've come to preach this good news, to set captives free. And then to cause the blind to see. And then we see where the blind man was healed, and they came to the blind man and they said, who was it that caused you to see? And he said, I don't know, but all I know is I was blind and now I see. Amen. Hey, listen, it's the testimony. It's not just the fact that Jesus came and proclaimed it. It's the fact that he did it. And then it's the fact that those that were, you know, that were affected by him gave testimony to it. And so, you know, I preach every Sunday. I try to share with you people the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there comes a point in time where you need to hear from the folks that it's affected, all right? And so this morning, we are so privileged to have some dear friends of mine from Beautiful Deliverance here today. And so we're delighted with them. I get to share with some of them on Thursday mornings in a Bible study and kind of gotten to know Lisa a little bit through the time, and just to know the heart of this ministry and the people there. And so I thought, man, you need to hear this. And so I've invited them to come this morning. And I want to introduce to you Miss Lisa Kapp, who is the director and founder of Beautiful Deliverance. Come on, make your way up here, Miss Lisa. She's brought some others with her. I'm going to let her introduce them. Come on up here. Amen. And we're gonna let her share. You wanna hold that, or we're gonna just, there you go, there you go. You got them on there? All right, here we go. I'm gonna let her introduce folks and just share a little bit, and then I'll come back to you just a little bit later.
Okay, so I'm Lisa Kapp, and my husband, Robert Kapp. Ike and Dale Barnes are the founders of Beautiful Deliverance Ministries here in Vicksburg. We were founded in...
Okay.
So we were founded in 2014. We brought some of the people with us today that some of them have been through our program, some have been through other programs, but they're all connected with us and they help serve at Beautiful Deliverance. It'd be Chris and Amy Durrell, Chrissy McCain, and Silas and his son are still with Beautiful Deliverance, and his wife Jackie are here. So I just want to thank y'all. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Bill for coming. He sows into the young men's lives every Thursday morning. He comes and does a Bible study and talks with the men, which really helps because there's a lot of need in what we're doing. So that is one of the biggest needs, is people coming in and sowing. So we're a ministry that started out, I started doing jail ministry. And from jail ministry, I think it was 2010 or 11, I went into the jails, and through the jail ministry, people started coming out and looking me up, and they didn't have a place to go. And I was a hairdresser at that point, and I ended up selling my business, and we just started, I didn't know what to do, so I just started getting on the phone, and I was calling faith-based places. My pastor said, just start here, Lisa. It was Pastor Bill Joyce Frederick, and they raised me up in the Word, and I'm so thankful for them today. She went home to be with the Lord, but they really taught me God's Word. My whole life changed at that point. I surrendered everything. And my husband and I just sowed out to the Lord. And Mr. Ike and Miss Dale retired, and she stepped in. I wish she was here today, because she had retired from nursing and did not have to step into this. And she gave everything to do this with me. So through jail ministry, we just started looking up places and driving everywhere. We were driving to Texas, Georgia, we were driving to Alabama, wherever we could find a faith-based place that was free. It was very important for it to be free, because people, by the time they got to us, they didn't have anything, and they were coming out of jail. They had burned all their bridges. Families weren't talking to them because families didn't know what to do, you know, so they were just, we're not helping them anymore. So there was no help. So we started, you know, we were praying. I mean, it was just Miss Dale and I at that point. So we were praying, God, we don't know what to do. One day we had six people we were placing, and we didn't know what to do. We had no finances. I'd stepped out of doing hair. And at that point, we had to believe God for everything. My husband's working full time. Thank God that I didn't have to work, because he was doing it. So he said, do whatever you need to do. I'm standing with you. He's always stood with me in anything that I chose to do. But he said, do what you have to do at this point. So we didn't know what to do. We had six people, and it wasn't getting them to down to Crystal Springs, because we didn't know about Mercy House in Crystal Springs at that point. It was Texas, it was Georgia, it was Alabama. So we needed gas, and we needed a car to start traveling in. We had a car. I had a car, Miss Dale had a car, but it was a lot of wear and tear because we were traveling everywhere. So I remember Miss Dale said, we're going to have an office. I'm just going to give a short. We need an office, Lisa. So I called Mr. Jack, Captain Jack, here in Vicksburg, him and Miss Lena, beautiful, precious people. He's gone home to be with the Lord. But he said, he called me, Boo, just come up here. I got a building for you. I said, okay. He said, $350 a month. How's that sound? I said, that's great. I think we can do that. We got a little computer, and Miss Dale went to town on getting her little desk set up. She's the desk, she's the office person. I'm going to the street. So we had an office that started in 2014, where we started our nonprofit. And from there, we were traveling constantly. Like, it was tiring, it was a lot. We weren't staying in hotels. Sometimes the trips were 7 hours there, 7 hours back. So it was just back and forth, and that was the beginning of it. Then we were at church one day, somebody called and said, hey, I have a little house over on Dabney Street. If y'all will pay the taxes once a year, y'all can use it as long as you need to. Well, praise the Lord. We were like, yes, but you can't house everybody in a three-bedroom, one-bath house. So that helped, so we were able to house some women. But the traveling didn't stop, and it hasn't stopped today. So we house men. We only house about six at a time right now, because that's all we can do. We were housing women. We took a break on housing women, and we're placing them because during the time we were housing women, we had children. We were housing women and children. And some of the women just were still struggling, and some of the fathers. So we ended up housing the children in our homes. So we had a couple leaders. Chris and Amy's housed a baby. Christy has a couple children. I have a couple children in my home. So we're housing those children, waiting on the parents to get better and praying. And we're still very connected with the parents that of the children we're housing. But we step back for a moment with the women's side, and we're housing men. And Silas is one of the men there. He has his son there. Silas is an amazing man, sold out to God, loves the Lord, just had a little moment, and he's there now. Christy came through, beautiful deliverance. She was the one I tried to send somewhere, and she said, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay right here. So she stayed right with us all these years. And Amy came through, beautiful deliverance. And we just see miracles. Chris went to Mercy House. Actually, Silas has been to Mercy House. Through this all, it takes a lot to do what we do. Prayers, we need lots of prayers. Volunteers, we just opened a thrift store that we're really having a hard time deciding if we're gonna keep it or close it at this point, because there's not enough help. Because you can't pay everybody to do this. Actually, none of us, this is all volunteer. Until I have to say this, we've been fundraising. So for the first week after all these years of doing this, we were able to get a small paycheck, which was a miracle. And that's because we went out fundraising, so a lot of it went in the ministry, and a small amount went to each person that went out fundraising. And God really showed me a long time ago that we're not government funded, so everything is partners and people sewing into the ministry, and we have churches here that help as much as they can in Vicksburg. But it's all volunteer. So to keep the group that we have here, we have to help them. Amy has a child that she's involved in everything. I have Anna that's 15 involved in everything. She'll be getting a car this year. So to be able to do the things that we're next year, she's getting her permit. I have to say that. She's getting her permit this year. We have an 18-year-old that's with us still that's not ready to be on his own. Chrissy has two children with her, and he's 17. He's ready to get a permit in a car. So it's a lot, y'all. We didn't wake up and say, we're going to do this. I just dove in, and I said, wherever you want me to go and whatever you want me to do, that's what we'll do. So to keep these children safe, not that youth court's not safe. We love youth court. Marcy Sutherland is one of the most amazing judges around. We love her. All the people that work in the youth court, we love them. And, you know, but to keep them out of youth court, because we've been ministering to their parents for years. So we just couldn't let them go because we fell in love with them. And they were like our grandchildren. And you really don't have people helping in this. So this is children that don't have grandparents that can help, friends that can help. So we know them, so they're our family now. So I wanted to share a little bit. You know, God gave us this beautiful deliverance. It comes from two different things. Something from my daughter that went through a hard time. I came out of addiction, my husband did. And then she went through addiction, came out of a really hard time. She's sober, doing great. But beautiful deliverance came through something from her and the very first girl I mentored is where this name came from. And God gave us this name. And then he gave me who the Son. He says, so who the Son sets free, you will be free indeed. John 8:36. I just noticed that scripture reference is not on that, on our flyer. But through that, God says we're free. So we truly believe that this discipleship program that we do, that we conquer life-controlling addictions, pornography, addiction, any type of addiction, depression, like he really set us free. So we don't have to be bound for the rest of our lives because his word says he set us free, took it to the cross to give us life. And through all of this, housing people, we still place people. We're really an open door. We're a little different because it's an open door at Beautiful Deliverance. People come in, take showers. We feed them if we have the food to feed them. Whatever the need is, we're doing it in this community because God changed our lives and we want to see others changed. And through that, I just want to share. There's a lot of things I could say, but the most important thing is we're called to do what God, we're his hands and feet. And that's what he wants. That song, I don't even remember who it's by, I know it. But, you know, we're the hands and feet. He said, God, where are you at? Why are you not doing anything? He said, well, that's why I called you. So he's called all of us to be his hands and feet. We all have a different part of the family of God to do this. So Matthew 25:35, this is something I hold on those tough days when sometimes we see people go back out and it's tough, especially when you've mentored them for a long time and you see them fall. And not all of them do that. We see miracles every day of people coming through and never looking back. But you have a few that still struggle. So I have to always remind myself that God, like Jesus' love, set me free. He changed my life. And in Matthew 25:35, it says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And they said, Jesus, when did we do all this for you? And he said, and Jesus replied, and he said, when you do this for the least of the ones, my brothers and sisters, you've done it for me.
Amen.
So that's the part that God's words that we never, like when we're, sometimes I know we pass people that are, you know, asking for money at Walmart all the time, but you know, I always think, we don't know where they're at. We don't know where the money's going. Always pray over the money and say, God, just let this be something that sows life into them. But I always give because it's not for me to judge where it goes. If God, when God puts it on my heart, I'm going to stop. And usually it's always, I never not stop because I don't know what they're fighting every day. I don't know their struggle, but I know the struggle I came through and what we do on a daily basis. So I just want to thank y'all really for having us today. And Chris and Amy are going to be the couple to come and share their testimony together. So thank y'all.
Thank y'all for having us. We just want to really tell y'all a success story, you know, right here in this community. How 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, any man who comes to Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. All things are made new. So I'm Chris Durrell. This is my wife, Amy. She's going to share a little bit of darkness to the light. You know, what we were before Christ and then after Christ.
So I grew up in a broken home. We had a lot of love in the home, but there was a lot of dysfunction as well. We went to church off and on, and I guess I was around 9 years old. I went to church camp, and it was there that I asked Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior, and I was baptized. As a teen, I started dabbling in alcohol and drugs. I began to drift away from my friends that went to church. I got involved in relationships that were not good for me. And by the time I was a senior in high school, I was pregnant. I would eventually find myself with a daughter at the age of 19 and a failed relationship with her dad. I got involved in another relationship. We were together about 4 years. It ended in heartbreak. I was just looking for love in all the wrong places. By the time I was 24 years old, I started dating the man that would later become my husband. I was in full-blown addiction to painkillers at this time. Ironically, the thing that I was taking describes what I was trying to do, which was kill pain, but not physical pain. It was internal pain from things that had hurt me in my life. It was easier to numb the pain then than to face everything that I dealt with on the inside. I didn't realize at the time that the answer to my problems was Jesus. It wasn't found in a substance, because when I came to Beautiful Deliverance, I learned that anything other than Jesus is just a counterfeit comforter. So my husband and I got married at 27 years old. I was pregnant again. I knew I couldn't continue to use this pain medication while pregnant, so I went to a doctor looking for help because, you know, you trust the doctor. They know what they're doing. They put me on a medication that was supposed to be safe for the baby. It was safe for the baby, but they didn't tell me at the time that I was going to have a hard time getting off of it after. So I found myself, after having our youngest daughter, I found myself right back into pain pill addiction. And Chris had never stopped using this whole time. So after our daughter was born and I continued in use, it eventually escalated. And it went from not only pain pills, but eventually we started dabbling in meth and IV use. And for a while, you know, people say you can't recover. They say it's almost impossible to recover from IV use. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. So for a while, we were able to maintain the appearance of a normal life. We had good jobs. We had nice vehicles. We had a nice home that we had bought. And everything on the outside looked normal, but nobody knew what was going on the inside. So for a while, we were able to keep up the appearance, but soon we would lose everything. Custody of our children, our homes, our jobs, our vehicles, and Chris and I were separated for a time. Addiction is a thief. John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. This time in my life would have become only the beginning of one of the darkest times that I've ever gone through in my life. I was broken and didn't seem to have any hope. But I thank God that John 10:10 doesn't end with a thief's purpose, and neither does my story. The end of that verse says, "But I, Jesus, have come to give you life and life more abundantly." After going to one rehab for 6 days, which I met Lisa Kapp at a hair shop that we used to work at together. She sent me to rehab once. I stayed 6 days, and I thought I had it figured out. I left, and I wish that was just the end of my story there, but it wasn't. I left there, and I relapsed. Later on, I went to another rehab, and I was there for 6 weeks, which I completed that program. But something was still missing, even after going there. So when I came to Beautiful Deliverance almost 7 years ago, my whole life changed. They poured the Word of God into me in a way that it had never been spoken to me before. I was taught that I am not an addict. That's not who God created me to be. And that changed everything for me, because I was always taught that if you're in addiction, you're an addict. And so that kept me thinking this was something I was going to struggle with my whole life. And I found out that that's not the truth. So I was introduced to the love of God, and I received mercy and grace through this ministry in a way that I never had before. I was completely broken when I came here, but it turned out that that was exactly where I needed to be. Psalms 34:18 says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those who are crushed in spirit. God met me where I was and began to heal my heart and restore my family. I remember being at the ministry house, and I stayed at the first house that Lisa was talking about on Dabney Street, and I remember being there, and I didn't know what was going to happen with my marriage. I didn't know what was going to happen with my family, but I was done. I was done trying to figure everything out, and I just got to that point of surrender. And it takes that point of surrender for God to be able to come in and work in our hearts. And I would pray, "God, I just want to know you more." That's all I would pray. I remember saying that prayer over and over. "I just want to know you more." And he answered. So I told y'all that as a little girl at church camp, I met Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But he began to reveal more of himself to me. Now I know him not only as Savior, but as deliverer, as healer, as restorer, as provider, as my counselor, as my friend. Since coming through this ministry, my life has completely changed. I've continued to help within the ministry because I immediately felt a call on my life. And the Lord said, "This is not just about you." He said, "It's about other people. It's about other people that are bound in addiction. It's about other people that need to know me. So I need you to stay, and I need you to give out what's been given to you." Beautiful Deliverance will always hold a special place in my heart because it's the place that God chose to meet me at. And Lisa Kapp and Mr. Robert, Ms. Dale, Mr. Ike, and everyone else in this ministry holds a special place in my heart because they've not only become friends or the people that help me, like, they have become family. So I'm so thankful for this ministry and what it does in this community, and I'm so thankful that God chose it as the place to meet me at. So now Chris will share a little bit of his perspective on the testimony.
Yeah, our testimony ends the same because we're still walking it today. But it started a little different. I come from a perfect home. Parents raised me right. They're still together today, I think 40-something years, 43, 44, 45 years. But I can't say that I come from a broken home, because they taught me everything right, but I was really sheltered. And when I had a taste of being able to go out at 18 years old, You know, I've been introduced to marijuana. And it's when I started that, I guess everybody around me was doing it, and I just fell into the world. And I just, and it's almost like the world swallowed me. And I didn't realize it at the time, but it was like the spirit of Python. He was just steady sucking the life out of me. But it was a 13-year drug addiction, meth, pain pills, marijuana. And when I say addiction, I'm not talking about here and there. I'm talking about all day, every day. I mean, I'm not glorifying the enemy at no means, because I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is the answer, and that he, it don't matter how far or how dark or how deep down in the hole you are, he's still got his hand reaching out to pull us out. And that's what he did, was pull me out. And I got wrapped up in the addiction, lost everything, lost house, car, lost my own life. Really, you know, I'm still here. God restored it. But I mean, I lost everything. Everything I touched fell apart. I mean, it was just the works of the enemy was working through me and in me, and nothing I could have would go together. Lost relationships. And then it went in and out of jail several times, put on probation. I mean, it was just a constant cycle. And I was hopeless, and my parents went to church, but I thought that wasn't for me. I was just sort of, oh, that's not for me, that's for them good people. But I didn't realize that everybody needed a Savior. And then when I began to get personal, I went in and out of jail, and then I went to Mercy House Teen Challenge and did 14 months and completed it in 2015. And when I went in there, I realized that it was about the relationship with my Father. And when I become born again, he said, all things are made new. The old is gone. So Christ come to live in me. He become my helper. He become the one I need to lead me, guide me. And he become the good shepherd. And the voice of a stranger I no longer had to follow. So I got personal with all that. And when I got personal with it, it changed my outlook. It changed my perspective. My renewed mind, I no longer was sin conscious, but I was God conscious about everything. And they just poured the word of God in me, poured it in. I mean, like, you know, but that's what I needed. When Lisa come and visit me in jail, she's the one that placed me in Mercy House Teen Challenge in 2015. But she come and visit me in jail, and that lady prayed for me. I call her mama now, because really she's my spiritual mama. But she come in there and prayed for me. Me and her we done lost everything. We were separated. I mean, really, I was at the end. I thought I was headed to prison, and I didn't, you know, I was like, man, it's got to be something better. And she prayed for me, and I knew that prayer was sincere. And I knew God was about to do something, but when I walked in Mercy House, you know, I was very broken in pieces. But, you know, there's a song I listen to sometimes that says, and the guy's talking back and forth, he said, there's pieces, you know, and he put his hands on a potter wheel talking about himself, and the pieces fell together. And he asked this guy, he said, do I put these pieces in the trash or not? He said, no, you save them. You gotta, when the right potter gets the pieces, everything gets put back together. That's how God can take junk and make masterpiece out of it. But they begin to pour word of God in me. I just become a disciple, truly like real disciple. And I just began to seek the Lord for all I had. And he just, man, he did a work. You know, the Bible says the goodness of the Lord leads us to repentance. And he's been so good to me. And then, you know, I can live a life of constant repentance just because his goodness and his blessings and everything he's ever done for us. But but I graduated. I had a few notes. I was trying not to do them, but I didn't want to. They mess me up sometimes. But, you know, really becoming a true disciple of Christ. But I graduated in 2016. A month after that, I got blessed with a job. I worked at Cook Tractor for 5 years. And Adam and Mr. William called me in there. I've been out 1 month. You know, I'm in there. I'm like, what am I going to do? I got to get back to work. I don't know what's going to happen. And Adam reached out to me. I think he called my dad or something and asked me to come up there and talk to him. And I was like, wow. You know, so God was like, boom. You know, he gave me a great opportunity. And I stayed there 5 years. And little did I know, you know, I kept feeling the Lord pulling on me, you know, kept nudging me a little by little. And I fought it for 2 years. And I was like, nah, Lord, are you sure this is you? Are you sure? You know, so I kept playing it back and, you know, the struggle within. And I ended up leaving there July 2021 and started my own grass business. And it's been a blessing. God has just been, you know, I got a few customers. I see Mr. Bill and Aline Thornton and Miss Beard. And I don't know if y'all knew the old me, but thank God you know the new me. But, you know, and I surrendered my life. And it's, you know, every day I've been walking with the Lord for 8 years. Since 2015 when I entered, graduated in 16, I have not relapsed. You know, there's a lot of people that... by the grace of God, but a lot of people, we see them fall, and we see them, you know, and why me? You know, I just believe the Word of God fully, and I believe it for me personally, and man, I don't know, it transformed me. But today, I'm able, you know, today, God has restored my family better than ever. I mean, restored relationships with my mom and dad. You know, you burn your mom and dad. You know, you really, when you're in addiction, you burn the ones that love you, because really deep down, you know, they'll forgive you and they'll get over it. So that's what we end up doing. Provider for my family. Bought a car in April 2020 when COVID's going on. Bought a house in November 2020, COVID going on. Left Cook Tractor in July 21, and have been walking by faith ever since. You know, I've got loyal customers and the calls. I mean, it's just a God, just how he takes nothing, how the world says they're trash or they're nothing, and God just cleans it up. It's almost like an old penny to a new penny. You know, Christ can come in and he can do that for anybody that's willing to stay surrendered. But today I live by the word and under the good shepherd's voice. Today I see God's hand everywhere in my life. I couldn't ask for a better life. Ephesians 3:20 says he can do far more abundantly than anything I ask or imagine by the power that's working within me. And truly today, he has done far more abundantly than my best dream. God has exceeded it. And that's just through a constant surrender and of our life, but everything has been restored. I think it says he'd give it back 7 times better. And we on the, you know, it's just, but I just thank y'all for letting us share, and to God be the glory.
Kristen McCain is going to come up now and share a little bit. I'm not going to try to keep y'all long. This is probably my least favorite part of this. You know, I don't do the speaking thing well, but I have to tell you where I came from, to tell you what God did in my life and what he's doing in other people's lives, and he's using me. So I come from a really, honestly, I had good parents that loved me. The Bible says that my people die, they perish for lack of knowledge. And I really believe that they did the best that they could with what they knew. And they made mistakes along the way, like all parents do. But as I've grown in all this, I realized that they tried. They really did. And as I started having to take care of kids too, like they started coming into my house and I started like stepping into a parent role, I realized how tough that really is. So at a very young age, I dealt with alcoholism in my family, a lot of my family members. So I learned how to self-medicate very early in life. And I was given free rein with it a lot of times too, within the household. I was allowed to drink, and it kind of progressed as time went on. I went off to college. I was a good kid. I made pretty decent grades. I played soccer. I got a scholarship. I went to college. And when I left home and I didn't have some type of parental guidance at all, I kind of wilded out. I really tested the waters in a lot of areas with drugs, relationships, different things that really ended badly, poorly for me, heartbreak. So I came home. I had flunked out of college because by my sophomore year of college, I was drinking in between classes. I was passing out at night, getting my roommate would come find me and drag me back to the room. It turned really, really south really quick. So I ended up failing, flunked out of college and had to come back home. A disappointment, a failure. These are the things that I felt within myself. So it made it even worse when I got home. I just self-medicated even more. And I just kept digging this hole. And at this point, now I'm grown. I'm a young adult now, and my parents have no more say-so. I chose the path that I chose in life. They couldn't stop me. So I just kind of kept progressing and kept digging this hole, and I ended up in some really rough places, and God was really, he really kept me safe in some places and some things that I had gone, and people I was around that I shouldn't be around, you know. So I didn't know all this then, but as time, like really looking back on my life, like God protected me through all of this. And I remember I was in my 20s, mid-20s. I have a lot of addiction and alcoholism within my family, on both sides of my family. And I had a family member that quit. She quit everything. She sold out. She met this woman named Lisa Capp. And she started working for a thrift store she had. And I watched her wake up in the morning and pull her Bible out every morning. I watched her go to work. She went to church every Wednesday and every Sunday. She never missed. She opened her Bible every night. I watched this for a year. I watched her in my own addiction. I was still using, I was still drinking in the same house she lived in. But she stood and I watched. And finally the curiosity just got me. So I started trying to like come around the ministry some and check things out just to see. Something's different. There's something different in this. And I want to know, this looks good. Yeah. Because what I've got does not look good. I'm drowning. I'm spiraling. And I remember showing up there and talking to Miss Lisa and Miss Dale, both of them. And there was just something in them that I wanted to know more about. There was this love and this grace that I just had never seen in my life. They didn't know me. They knew some of my family, but they really didn't know me. And they loved me like they had known me my whole life. So I just kept going, because that's something that, you know, you yearn for, you look for. That's like a love that you just can't find anywhere else. That's the love of Jesus.
Right.
So I kept showing up. I kept showing up. And I was very, 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 very hard-headed and very rebellious, and I bucked the system, and I wanted it my way, and I wasn't going to, you know, this and that. And she tried to place me, and I said, no, I'm not going. I'll stay here, though. I'll try it with you, but I'm not going anywhere. You're not going to send me nowhere. And she tried, but she failed. So I stuck with her, and I was with her a lot. Like, I would go on road trips with her and drive her. I just was there. If I wasn't at work, I was at the ministry, or I was at the thrift store. I was right there somewhere, and I was trying to stay accountable, you know, because I was still struggling. I wasn't there yet, and I was still back and forth trying to figure it out. And I remember one day, and I can't explain it any other way but the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know that then, but there was this urge. I was at work, and I got off work, and I was usually going to go straight to the ministry after work. But I still had drugs and stuff at my house. And I had to go home. And I had to throw it all away. And I could not explain why. I just did. So I did, and I remember saying it out loud, like, this is stupid. I'm not going to have anything this evening, like, you know, because I needed it that evening. And but I did. I threw it all away, and I shut up at the ministry. And it was the most freedom that I had felt in so long, just to let it go. And I was so excited. And I struggled back and forth with that for a while in the alcohol. See, the drugs are illegal. See, alcohol is legal. So you play that thing in your mind. Well, I'm not doing drugs anymore. So then I become a raging alcoholic at that point. You know, you put the drugs down, you pick this up. I went back and forth and back and forth. It took a long time. Miss Dell and Miss Lisa, never, every time I showed up beat up and banged up, and I showed up beat up a few times, they brought me in with the same love as they did the first time I walked in the door. It was just insane to me, like, that somebody could love you like that. And then they introduced me to the person that creates all that, you know? Like, when I really saw the love of Jesus, it was through a person, a couple of people. But then when I experienced it for myself, something just broke in me, and it freed me in all the areas that I struggled in, you know? And I had to walk that out for a while. I got sober completely. I decided to serve. I want to serve. Like, I just want to give back. I want to help, because this place is amazing. God is good. And I just want to help the next person coming in. That's where I was at. So I did. I stayed. I served. I saw Miss Dell and Miss Lisa overworked. Like, there were people coming from everywhere. And yeah. So I just kind of jumped in and was like, where can I help? What can I do? So I started serving, like I said, and I eventually ended up in the office with Miss Dale, helping with the finances and the bills and keeping up with all the stuff, the records and stuff. And God put it on my heart. I really confessed this for probably 2 years, even though I just was afraid to step into it, was children. Like, I always saw kids. Like, there's so many broken children that go through some really bad stuff early in life that just need to be introduced to Jesus. They need to know what that love looks like. They need somebody to stand up for them and love them through it. And so I remember confessing it, you know, Miss Lisa, we would talk about it, and she'd be like, are you ready yet? Are you ready? No, I'm not ready. You know, I'm praying about it. And I finally said yes to a little girl, actually, this little infant. She had nowhere to go. Her daddy was in jail. Her mama was not good. And she was in a really bad place. So I took her. I took her for a couple weeks, I think, a week or two. That was the beginning of it. And it kind of grew into this thing where now I've had six, seven kids come through. And one of them I've had since 2018. She's gone back to her mother a couple of times for a few months at a time, and then she comes back. You know, there's three brothers that I've had in and out of my house for years, and we deal very closely, like Ms. Lisa said, with their moms. And it's just a blessing to be able to stand up here and say that God set me free in a place where I can step in now and I can love the next kid coming up, that they're not broke as adults, because a broken adult turns into an addict or an alcoholic or all those things they can step into, you know. But to minister to someone early in life like that and really show them what the love of Jesus looks like is a miracle within itself, that I can get to do that. Like, I'm beyond grateful for what Beautiful Deliverance has done in my life, what it represents in my life, what God has done through that ministry. Because it's a relentless pursuit that God has on every person. I believe that. And He pursued me relentlessly because I was a runner. And I'm just grateful to be up here and share that with y'all, where I come from and what's going on in this community. Thank y'all. We're going to have Silas is going to come up and share a little bit too. Thank you.
I'm probably not going to be able to, just first of all, I'm not going to be able to stand still. I'm already. I can't really sit still and talk about a God because he's done a lot. So I'm sitting here watching all these people and I'm looking at them. I'm like, well, they don't look like the type of people that, you know, I grew up with, you know, the crowd that I ran around with and the type of people that, like, was all of my life. So, like, I'm just going to run through my history real quick. When I was like six, my mom moved me. My mom had four boys in 5 years. And my dad was an alcoholic, drug addict, all of the above. So, like, my mom took me to try to separate me from him and get me out of that type of environment. But she was like working all the time, working three jobs, trying to raise four boys. And I ended up, I guess I was searching for a father figure or something, and I went and I ended up putting myself in bad situations, I guess, and I was sexually abused and physically abused, and I just went through a lot at a young age and ended up in boys' homes. So I spent like at 13, I'd already smoked crack, I'd already done all the drugs that they're talking about. And so I spent my childhood growing up in boys' homes and institutions and always being told what to do and how to do it. So that made me like rebel against authority, and I ended up testifying against the guy when I was 13. That was like the first thing I ever did that was positive. And it's kind of confusing looking back sometimes because like God's wiped all that away from me. But so I put on these, I see it like this, like, all right, first of all, I know I'm confusing everybody right now, but Isaiah 61:10, it says that we put on a garment of salvation. And I'm going to cry. But God, like, I wore these filthy garments my whole life. And I tried to add all these things to my life in order to, I was searching for him. But so I put on all these unclean things, like shooting dope, and I ended up in prison. I've been to prison 5 times. I was married before. I was a horrible husband, didn't know how to lead. I ended up ruining that marriage. I was an intravenous drug user the whole time. I didn't commit to anything. Everything I committed to being who I wanted to be and following the world. And so, let's see. So I got kids and I'm not doing very good right now, but anyway, I haven't done this in a while. I used to do this all the time at Mercy House, and God, I was always going around and sharing my story, and you know, it never really hit my heart because I had made myself all these promises along the way that I'm never going to be like this, and then I end up doing it, and then I'm never going to do this, and I end up doing it. I'm never going to shoot dope, and then I find myself walking 3 miles in the rain to get a needle that I hid in an abandoned building so I could shoot dope, you know, and then, you know, I find myself shooting dope into my ex-wife when she's coming out of surgery because she had shot dope in both arms. And so she has these big wounds on her from the drugs, and I'm putting drugs in her, you know. So I was blind, completely blind. So December of 2019, I'd been living on the streets for 2 years, living in a tent. I wasn't staying from house to house. I was too stubborn for that. Like, I was living in a tent in the woods behind Walmart on the coast. And so my day-to-day habit was like getting up and stealing stuff. So I'd go get some drugs and just running around. I thought I was doing something good by my kids by going and stealing some stuff for Christmas. And anyway, the police arrest me, and I've done been to jail probably at least 40 times in that town. probably 60, 70 times in my life. And so I go to jail and I'm like, you know, I just, that was my moment where I was just like, you know, I'm so sick and tired of wearing these garments, being seen as this person that, you know, the way that I see myself, I was just filthy. And, you know, I already had the word in me because I've been to prison. That's the only thing they let you take with you to prison is a Bible and a bar of soap and some socks or something. But, so I was reading the word, but it never, it was just a book. It was something to do. It wasn't really something that changed me because I wasn't obedient. I never done any things that Jesus said to do, so I never got any things that he asked for. So, anyway. So when I went to jail, I started reading the Bible. And I prayed, and I was like, I finally just submitted, and I was just like, I'm done. I'd already, you know, I'd done ruined my life. And my daughter had wrote me a letter saying that she didn't want nothing to do with me because the way I was living. So I went to Mercy House. I didn't really want to be there. They taught me ways to apply the Bible to my life. And they kind of tricked me into being obedient because they did the, you know, they had wrote these, you know, you had to make these goals and you went and did them. And little did I know, like, I was walking out the truth. And but I was still, there was still something missing because I was there for 12 months and I didn't finish. I only had 2 months left and I screwed up. I don't know. It's like she was saying about the alcohol. Like, I justified that in my head that was okay. So I went back and drank alcohol and then I did stupid stuff, you know. I was always doing stupid stuff. But, so anyway, I left Mercy House, but I had Jesus in me. So it was like, I spent the next 3 or 4 years walking with God, and I watched my whole life change. And so I started a business, made a bunch of money, and met my beautiful wife, and she's a godly woman, and you know, God just started showing me what it was like to walk with Him, and to have favor on your life, and to see, you know, it just changed my whole vision of how I see everything. So my eyes were open. But after a couple years, it's almost like I got complacent with the blessings. I seen it and I took advantage of God. Like, I knew He was going to provide for me. So I was just walking with it, knowing what He's going to do. He always going to take care of me. And I took it for granted. And then I started thinking it was something I was doing. And I started making small compromises. And the enemy, you know, I heard it say that the door of our hearts, it only has a handle on the inside. There ain't no handle on the outside. Like, the enemy can't have access unless you let him in. Just like Jesus can't have access unless you let him in. So I opened up the door and I let the enemy back in. I ended up compromising. Within a few months, I was shooting dope again. And I'm watching, it's like I'm in a movie or something. I'm watching my whole life just falling apart again. And I'm like, but I knew God. And then I did all the things I said I wasn't going to do. Committed adultery on my wife. Just lost everything again. So the only safe place, I wasn't going to go back to Mercy House. I was too prideful. Like, my pride was not going to let me go back. And somebody that I knew had went and stayed and sat with Lisa at Beautiful Deliverance. And so he called, I think, and I ended up calling her, and I drove. She ended up saying that she had a place, and I drove down here with, like, no gas. I had like $7. I put it in my truck. And I drove down here, and I think I went to the casino, and I was like, if I win some money, then I ain't going. But I ended up losing every dime I had. And I went to, so I go down here to Beautiful Rivers, and I'm sitting there, and I'm praising, like worship music 24/7. And like I remembered, you know, what God had done. And so I just got naked before God. And man, so he made me clean. Like the first 2 or 3 weeks I was here, I was like crying nonstop. I hear a song and I'm crying and I'm trying to tell everybody and I'm running around. Once he made me clean, he was like, I'm running around telling everybody, super excited. It's like you've been held. I think David talks about it in Psalms about Sheol, and it's, I think it's a reference to Jonah when he was under the water and the cords of death are wrapping him. And that's kind of how I felt, like at the bottom of the ocean, drowning. And, but when I come up and I come out for air, there's nothing like it. And so now that's like what I want. Like that's my goal, that's my life. Like I get tired of even working. Like I got a business and I do good, but I'm like distracted by it because I really just want people to see Jesus.
Amen.
And I want people to know him. Cause like, if you know him, then it doesn't matter what happens in life, what circumstances are thrown at you. I had something prepared about the garments and all this stuff. And I was thinking like, cause it always sounds better in my head. But so I was thinking about in Zechariah 3:4, it says that the angel took off his unclean garments and put on these garments of salvation and the garments of praise. And then I was thinking about the prodigal son, you know, when he went and it says while he was yet far off, he turned and his father saw him. You know, so God has been looking at me this whole time. And when I turned to face him, he come running. He had compassion. He came running. And he fell on my neck and he loves me. And then he told his servants to put on the ring and the robe. He didn't tell the prodigal to go put on the ring and the robe. You know, it ain't something that we can do in our own power other than submit and just know who God is. But so him putting on the garments, that moved me, you know, because God is good. And I might not be the best speaker, but I know Jesus. And
amen, brother.
And he's alive.
Amen.
You
know. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that's the best message I've ever heard. Amen? The message of deliverance, right? You know, something kind of in common from every one of these testimonies. Not one person stood up here and said, you know what? When I was in first grade and the teacher asked me what I want to be when I grow up, I want to grow up and be an addict. Nobody ever said that. Somebody said, life is what happens while we're making other plans. I tell guys in the jail all the time, you know you're in bondage because there's a jail cell that reminds you. And there's this orange jumpsuit that you wear. And it reminds you every waking moment that you're in bondage. I said, unfortunately, we have a church full of folks that are in bondage. But they've got on good clothes, Silas. They got the hair all did up. Their finances are okay. But yet they're in bondage to the grips of sin and Satan. You know, addictions come in all kinds of forms. My son is a counselor. He's director in a behavioral health care. And I remember growing up, my son would ask me all the time, he's like, Dad, why do preachers always preach against smoking and drinking but they never say anything about overeating. I said, well, have you ever seen preachers? Right? We've all been overeating, right? So look, man, you can have addictions to food. You can have addictions to alcohol. You can have addictions to pornography. You can have addiction to, you know, all these things. And some of it you can mask. Some of it you can't. You can be addicted to things that nobody will ever know about. You can be addicted to gossip. You can be addicted to bitterness. You can be addicted to all those things. And here's something that I've learned about addiction as well. An addict knows that this is going to cause them harm. If you're addicted to food, you know if I eat this, it's going to affect me. I could get diabetes. I could have a heart attack. It's going to cause my health to be poor. But we do it anyway, right? A smoker says, I know that smoking could cause me to have cancer, but we smoke anyway. The alcoholic says, I know that this alcohol can destroy my liver, but I'm going to do it anyway. You see? An addict is controlled by that substance, even though they know that it can bring harm to them. And we also know that through this type of lifestyle, we say, but I am stronger than everybody else. Everybody else is affected, but it won't affect me. I can beat it. I can beat the system, right? Wrong. Wrong. And we find ourselves in this bondage. Man, I tell you, there's a great verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12 says this, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, there's a lot of things that are lawful. I mean, we've heard from the testimony, even alcohol. Drugs are illegal, right? Alcohol is legal. We can justify that, right? But when we are brought under the power of it, then we have to admit that we're a slave to that. Paul talks about that. Whatever we give to, that's what we're a slave to. Whatever we surrender to, that's what we're a slave to. And so to know this might be legal, but hey, it's still controlling my life. Whether you can function or not, it's still controlling your life. John 8 verse 32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 14 verse 16, Jesus says, I am the way and the life and the truth. It's Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. Listen, man, I'm so grateful for these testimonies this morning. I'm not an idiot. I've been around for 61 years, and I played that church game. And I know there's some folks in this church this morning, most likely. I don't know who you are particularly, but I just know in a crowd like this, there's probably some folks that are playing the church game. And you're struggling under that addiction. And this morning, the message is, there's a God of truth who wants to set you free. Amen? Amen. Amen. And we look around in our society, we look around in our community today, and we think, man, this is overwhelming. This is too big. Lisa, how in the world can we help all of these people? And I'm reminded of the man who went out on the seashore after the tide and what went back out. And there were all these little starfish out there. And they were drying up, about to die. And he was picking them up and throwing them back out in the ocean. And man, there were just millions of them everywhere. And somebody came along and said, man, what are you doing? He said, I'm saving these starfish. He said, man, there's too many. You can't save them all. And he picked up one. And he said, but I can save this one. Amen? Amen. Hey, we may not be able to save them all. Man, what about the ones we can save? Amen? This morning, now, there's a God who loves you, and a God who wants to save you, a God who wants to deliver you. I'm going to ask this morning. Let's just bow this morning. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Nothing magical about bowing your head or closing your eyes. It's just to get in the moment this morning. Just to get alone, you and God. Maybe you're that one this morning that needs that deliverance. Would you be willing this morning to surrender it all? Would you be willing this morning to stand up and step out and say, you know what? I don't know who else this is for, but I know it's for me today. Maybe this morning, you're that one who God has put in the path of someone else to help. Maybe God's delivered you. Maybe God's protected you. Maybe you stand this morning and say, you know, by the mercy of God, I've never had to battle that. But God's equipped you, God's positioned you to help someone else. Would you be willing to stand in the gap for them? Father, this morning we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the word that is life. God, the word that is bread to feed upon. And God, I thank you for the testimony, God, of these simple beggars this morning who have come to share and tell other beggars where to find that bread. God, I pray this morning, whether it's people listening on the radio or whether it's people watching online, God, I pray this morning, God, that your call has been heard. God, that the good news has been shared. And I pray, God, that today lives and hearts will surrender to you. Father, this morning, God, decisions will be made. God, there are those who are walking through the valley of decision right now. God, I pray right now that, God, you would just knock upon their heart's door. God, I pray they'll open up and let you come in. God, that you'll go in and dine with them. And God, that they'll know you as a God who loves them and a God who desires to have an intimate, personal love relationship with them. So, God, today, we pray for this decision time. God, I pray that our hearts would be broken today. God, that we would have a compassion for others. God, that we would be willing to come along beside those. And God, to pray, to encourage, to lift up, and to God, just to be strength in their weakness. God, to bear their burdens. Father, to help them. God, take off those old grave clothes. God, to put on new, fresh clothes of righteousness. And so, God, today we pray. God, we pray for this time right now. Father, I just want to ask you this morning to have your will and your way. God, be magnified and glorified in all that we do right now. We ask you all this in Christ's name. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning with us. Mike's going to come and lead us in a song of invitation. Ask our other guys to come. Man, this is just an opportunity. The altars are open here this morning. Maybe you want to just come this morning. Just lay it all at the altar for him this morning. And there's folks that will pray with you. Folks that will pray with you. Would you just come this morning? And would you just be obedient to God in this moment today? Would you come right now this morning? Mike?
You are hurting and broken within.
Oh,
weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Jesus is calling.
To the altar, precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.